is still in the stadium, maybe. I don't know where they're at, but what's that? Too soon? Too soon to talk about it? It has been a busy week, and I know we had a great tailgate yesterday, so that was fun. It's been a busy. I had a 6 a.m. this morning. I had a Skype call with New Life AG Church in Chennai, India. They were sending on their apostolic team. They're sending them out to Dubai, so they wanted me to give a greeting. And at 6 a.m. rolled around quite early, and so at 6:10 I woke up for the 6 a.m. greeting. So anyway, at 6:30 I gave the greeting, but it's a little awkward. I don't know if you've done that before, but there's a crowd of, I think they said there's 3,500 people there, and I'm just going like this. And, you know, they've been in the service for an hour, hour and a half. I just felt like, man, I'm not prepared to talk for 10 minutes on Skype. But nevertheless, it was, despite my inability to be awake, it was a really encouraging time to see how they have a team. They're modeling it a lot like ours, and how they're sending them out to Dubai. So I use the Acts 13:1-3, where the team in Antioch got together and said, we're going to send out Paul and Barnabas. So it was despite my tiredness, it was a fun morning. 6:10. All right, so here's what we're going to do this morning, and I'm just going to give a brief introduction. I'm going to try to frame in what we're doing. So John Hala and Sam Schill are going to talk this morning about understanding our rebuild program, and we're going to see how this. They're going to do two things. They're going to explain what it is, and then they're going to touch lightly on how we can contribute in our area, in our local area. And actually, this is the first morning of two mornings. We're going to do this again next week, and we're actually going to have more next week on some of the work in Des Moines, and then some more specifics in the Ames area next week. So this is a 2 week teaching. And on number two there, I just want to point out to you, just to get your mind orientated. In our local strategy to accomplish the work, we have three general things. This is our internal strategy, and we want to network with churches in Ames and Des Moines, and we want to meet pressing needs of our cities, and we want to improve our communications. We can do better in those areas. So these are internal as our family. I kind of envision we're sitting around the dinner table right now, talking, having this conversation. And what John and Sam are talking about this morning fits in the second category here of meeting pressing needs in our cities. So rebuild fits into the second piece. And the third thing I wanted to do, and then John and Sam can take over, I wanted to tell you why we're doing this, the purpose behind this, the scriptural basis for this. We're not just doing this because this is a good idea. I mean, it is a good idea, but it's more than that. We all know we've spent a lot of time in all of our establishment and maturity and in the foundations of the faith. You see how Paul writes and says, be mature, be rooted deep, he says all these synonyms about being established. Well, in Titus 3, one of the last letters he wrote, so after, imagine all of these words are being said in the New Testament, this maturation that Paul talks about in the church, an expansion of the church, he says this to Titus. Titus 3, verse 14, and it says, I'll just read it from up there. All our people, so Titus, remember, all of our people must learn to busy themselves with good works so that they may meet any urgent needs that arises and not be unfruitful. And especially if you read the context before this, and there's just one or two verses after this, this is tucked right into Titus 3 here, where we are supposed to be about. What is the outcome of a mature person? It's they engage in good works, and they're not unfruitful, and they meet urgent needs. So when we say seek the welfare of the city, this is what we mean. We mean we have to understand our city. We have to understand our culture. We have to understand what the needs are in our cities. And then we have to help meet them. So that's what we're doing this morning. That's what Rebuild is. And so it's in that. That's the why. That's Titus 3. That's the why of why we're doing it. Okay? All right. Sam, you're going to.
All right, John, you get the red one up here. So he's ready. All right, we'll do a couple introductions here. If John can figure out his microphone, I'm going to make him introduce himself first.
Is it on?
I'm going to make John introduce himself first. Look at that. I'm putting him right on the spot right away here.
I'm John. Obviously, I think everyone knows who I am, but Sam's going to really take the lead here. He's done a phenomenal job putting this together, but as one of the senior elders here, this kind of falls underneath my purview and jurisdiction as well in terms of kind of helping overseeing it. But I think Sam's going to talk about this. We're not coming here today as experts, and having studied this extensively and having a program or a process put together that is totally complete, we're still learning, we're still going through this, but we're really excited about it, and I appreciate Michael's introduction because it kind of helps set the stage for how we view it as well, too. This is not like a social gospel type situation. It's really something that we firmly believe in, and it's got a great opportunity to help meet pressing needs that are in the community. So go ahead.
I really just want to establish that he's a senior elder. So if you didn't catch that part, that's important because he's been very helpful in helping shape a lot of the things we're going to talk about today. And for those who don't know me, I'm Sam Schill. I look a little different than some of the people that stand up here. I do have a stack of books, not very tall. There's also a Sports Illustrated on the bottom there to prop it up a little bit because I don't have that many books. I'm wearing a shirt. It's not quite like branded, but I did bring something along with me to make sure people know what's happening here. So I see Steve there. I am a UNI graduate from Ames. So yesterday is just it's pain and suffering all over the board there. So. And unfortunately, I don't have any good farm analogies about how I grew up as a hard worker and what I've learned. I can't bring that today to the table either, but what I will bring is hopefully some good energy around some of the things that John and I, Caleb and Annie, Jeff and Nancy, in a kind of a core team that has been working with a young woman that's been in our home over the last year. So hopefully we can share with you some of the pieces about Rebuild. I know Jeff's been up here. He's talked about it. It's a phrase and a thing that he enters into a lot of conversations with on Sunday mornings. But like over the last year, I said we've been processing what is Rebuild in amongst ourselves every day. And like I said, we've had a young lady in our house over the last year. That's my computer. I'm going to start this morning with this quote. I'm going to go ahead and read it. And actually, this isn't a conversation that I had with a couple city councilmen at the beginning of this year. And they said, well, I thought it was very interesting, towards the end of a conversation about an hour and a half lunch, that Ames is full of well-intentioned people sitting on boards and volunteering in our social services. But we need innovative people working to solve problems in fresh ways. I mean, this conversation came, we talked a lot about the city, we were talking about problems in the city, we were talking about ways in which that he saw myself and even others in the church and how we can get involved with different pieces. And I thought that was an interesting comment because we all are in a city with really great people that are involved, people that care, people that have money, people that donate, But what his argument was there is that we don't just need those people, any of our people, just sitting and filling and sitting on a board and checking a box or jumping in on a volunteer service day and feeling like that was my good works for this week, for this month, for this year, that we actually need people to kind of roll their sleeves up, think a bit differently, and solve some problems. And I bring that quote up here today because I really liked the emphasis behind that, because I think what Rebuild offers us is an ability to get our people working together in an innovative way to solve real problems in our city. So for this morning, like I mentioned, we want to help you understand a little bit more about Rebuild today. So hopefully there's a few more pieces of the picture here that you pick up and can walk away with. And specifically want to help each person here start to see a way that they could contribute to this. Because as we are going to talk next week more about specifically about the opportunity names in Des Moines and have a call to action on regards to some of the things that we can start getting into right now. But I think today, I hope you'll get a view of how you can participate in that. So first off, let's talk about a little bit about what Rebuild is, and John will have you jump up here anytime you want to. But Rebuild, in the world today, individuals are finding themselves at any stage in life in a tough spot. And those that are in a tough spot, oftentimes today we see their social services, people can throw at them different governmental programs, but the problems often aren't simple, and they take a very, as it stated up there, integrated approach to solving them. And a lot of the emphasis behind Rebuild is that it is a comprehensive approach, and we're going to talk a lot about that here today. But one of the questions I ask here at the beginning is, what does it look like to have a church or church network participate in rebuilding a life? Oftentimes, before hearing a lot about this, I would have said, let's send someone just to the social service, or let's send someone to just someone's house. Someone in the church in the house can do everything and solve all these problems and get this taken care of. But as John and I have learned, there's a lot of complexity to the situations that many people can get themselves in.
And maybe just to build on that too, Sam, is that the quote is interesting. It said, what we need is innovative people. And that just puts it back into one person or a few people. And what we have found, and as we share today, it's taken a team of people working together. And I will share just personally, I have the privilege of sitting on a number of different boards and committees and working together. And I wrestle with it at times, making sure that this is woven into integrated in a cohesive whole. In terms of it's a part of the church. It's not just me participating. So it's something that we're excited about because it does come across and it is a team, and it's a church, and it's a cluster, and even can be the network. And also my add, too, is that I think you'll talk about next week is not just Des Moines, but there's a lot of opportunity here in Ames that are really coming up. And without being a spoiler alert, there are things that are coming our way that we can work together with as well, too. So,
yeah, so the idea, what does it look like to have a church network participating in rebuilding a life? So Rebuild is a church cluster or entire church network working with individuals in a process at any stage of life, rebuilding their lives and becoming productive, contributing members of the community. And a couple distinctives I think that are in here is that it's like many things that we do and the way we think, the church is central to this process. And John and I had a really good conversation, and he brought up a really great point that in this idea of seek the welfare of the city and being about meeting pressing needs, that Rebuild is really a very relevant expression of the church in our culture. We have this really unique ability to get involved in people's lives at a real significant way, sometimes the people look at the church, I think, in today's culture, again, not saying, with just like that quote, well-intentioned people that may be able to help me here or there or have the ability to pick me up when I'm down, but we're looking at a much more comprehensive approach, and that's one of the other aspects that we're going to talk about here this morning as well, that Rebuild, and as Jeff has mentioned, is comprehensive, and that's one of its really unique points compared to some of the other efforts that are happening in and across the city. And there are very focused programs, so we're looking at specific types of things like unwed mothers, people that may have come out of the penal system, people that come out of the foster care system, marriage, parenting. There's different specific programs that are oriented for specific situations.
as we talked about this in preparation too, is I think one of the dangers can be is that, oh, it's just another program or something else that we're just doing. And that's why we intentionally crafted the statement saying it's really it's an outworking of our churches to work with individuals, and all of us in a way do need some rebuilding or some rethinking or, you know, in the transformation process. So we really encourage each of us to not think about this as being a program that is attached to the church, but it's actually an outworking of the church in helping to develop individuals. Some may need more assistance, some may need more training or equipping, others may not as well too, but we're all obviously going through a process of maturing, developing. So it's kind of like what Mary and I have gone through for many years, is that we came to faith in the discipleship, the campus ministries, and the individualistic focus. And I still struggle with that at times in terms of being focused on just me. And so we're going to try and safeguard and encourage everyone to not just see this as another appendage to what's going on, but integral with what it is. And it just happens to have, you know, a moniker, you know, rebuild. And also it, I think, reflects the fact of how we are going through and working with individuals, be it either who are in your church or who have a need to become in the church and go through a process that may be more intentional and potentially more structured as well, too.
And this is a diagram here, the pastoral care taxonomy that we've seen before in many pieces. Jeff's used this in. And one of the things, that if you look at the bottom right-hand corner, this idea about life rebuilding, that big box in the right-hand corner has always been there. It's been part of this taxonomy. That has been part of a vision and been part of a thinking and studying for years. And what Rebuild does, it brings to life this idea of life rebuilding and gives us as the church a way to enter in a organized way to start helping people. I think that's something that we haven't had as available to us as a way to think about not just as individuals and helping, but as a city church network, how do we help rebuild a whole set of lives? And this is an important part of the kind of the base of as we try to move people up this pastoral taxonomy.
And those that know me, I'm a very graphically driven person, so when I saw this the first time, it just really really resonated. We just caught this morning going through it again that there's actually a replication of one of the boxes. It says conversion process twice. But the top piece is really from the maturation and the growth and spiritual development is being full participants, you know, in the church, being contributing members to the society. But it does start with the conversion process, and it does require life rebuilding. Those who don't, that piece is solid, and it just keeps on in a building process. But it is an integrated and comprehensive, as you mentioned, and cohesive process. It's not something which is just done off to the side and not within the overall context of pastoral care and also life development as well.
So here's another local quote that I received here over the last year's meeting with the homeless liaison at the high school. Jenny and I were sitting and kind of talking about a number of things, and we were discussing Rebuild, and she says, "Wow, 3 years?" We'll get into where that came from. And along that, this is when we look at Rebuild, and we mentioned this idea of a comprehensive approach. Rebuild programs unify the efforts of the individual, the family, societal, and faith community structures, providing a comprehensive plan and strategy. And then our little diagram over here, we see life rebuilding kind of in the middle of the different services that are available, whether they happen to be the medical field, the different social services and governmental programs, or, again, working and partnering with parolee officers or whatever that situation might be. And this is where the light bulb went off for me, when I see this idea of that our rebuilding programs or the church is in the center of these different spheres within our communities, that We have relationships with all of these groups. We can work and utilize the best things that are offered within each community. We're not trying to take it and handle everything ourselves, but at the same time, we aren't watching people just use the governmental or the social systems that are in our communities handle all those problems for us, and we just cheer them on or maybe give them a little bit of money. But we are integrated in the center and can help develop programs and strategies for people with members of our churches, with elders, with families, with kids, and we're going to hopefully show today just a picture of what happened in the South Campus cluster of how lots of different people got involved with and the social services in the community with the case that was in our home here. And a couple of notes on the comprehensive nature of this, that it's attached to that WOW 3 years. So we were talking to her, and she's got a number of programs that she might enter a student into. Some of them could be a week long, a month long, a night where they could, in this case, and we're going to talk a little more next week, there's sometimes upward to 100, 150 homeless students at Ames High that are couch surfing or just don't have a place to stay, or their home is not stable enough to live in. And so the role of this homeless liaison is to assure that they find a place to live, connected to, so they graduate from high school. That's their passion, and that's really all they care about the person, but they just care about them from their official role to help them graduate high school. That's the reason they exist. And so when we mention that, yeah, people can live in people's homes for a 3-year period, she just couldn't believe that was something that was part of an and that's like a thing that you guys do, and that's the way you've structured this. And we're like, yeah, and walked her through these ideas of it. You know, you're not gonna just change someone's life or get them in a stable trajectory in a month period or 2 month period or 6 month period. And she's shaking her head going, yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I totally agree. So very receptive to that idea. But it is, because it is comprehensive in nature, long-term, not a short-term fix. And it's all aspects of life. And we're going to talk about the different components of Rebuild, but it doesn't have a singular focus on trying to solve this one specific thing that you struggle that you might be going through, but more of a comprehensive look at that. And then this idea of outer plus inner transformation. It's not, I see that you're homeless, let's give you a place to stay for a few weeks, and that's gonna solve it. But also this idea of the faith component, that we're also helping you transform the way you think of the world, the way you think about your life, the way you think about yourself in a bigger context than just yourself as an individual.
And just to build on that outer versus inner transformation, there is a partnering that goes on with different groups here in the city, for example. They were just reflecting on the fact that the government has different programs to help single unwed moms. They help provide for food, they may help provide for child care, maybe some health care, but that's all outward. Our ultimate goal is to really help people be transformed on the inside by also helping them on the outside as well, too. So it is an integrated and working in partnership with these entities to accomplish that and taking advantage of it. And that's one thing that we have learned. There's a lot of opportunities to try and help people out. But you know, the old adage, you know, give a man a fish, you know, you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, you know, they feed him for a lifetime, essentially. That's really the goal, is to help them become a fully participating member of the community, as well as that they see both come to faith, grow in their faith, as well as develop in their individual life skills and be a productive member of the community at large.
And like I said, as a person that generally wants to be helpful, wants to meet people's needs, and just has a heart and a desire for that, there's a comprehensive approach, and that we can sit and create plans and strategies utilizing everyone in the community, just was, like I said, it was just a big light bulb for me and my wife Jennifer, as we and I think just a key thing in how our churches can be very successful with this over the years. Another quote here from a local service social service director, this was the most challenging case that we've ever seen. So we're not going to go into great detail in everything with the gal that is living with us currently, but she had many things that fall. If I flip the next slide here, on the unresourced side of the continuum continuum of resources. And this is actually straight from the Framework for Understanding Poverty. Look, I'm going to wave a book. Look at this. I'm going to wave a book. This book here. So, I think Amazon might be, and Rudy Payne here might be doing well, just because I know a lot of people bought this book recently. Everyone I've talked to said, "Yeah, I'm reading this." Do read this, because it really, even in a short, you know, the first 15, 20 pages really help me a ton, just in the way I think about things. And she brings up this continuum of resources, and when we looked at the young woman living in our house, many of these things in her world were on the unresourced side. And you start adding these things up and trying to look at it, and you can see how people can get in a spot where they really have a hard time digging out of. And that also in the same stretch, which is, if I go back to this quote here, it also led me to believe that not a single family or a single entity or a single thing could really help a person get what they need and start moving all of these different items from the unresourced side of things in life to the resource side of things in life. And we're going to show a little bit about some of the examples of how we've done that in her case. But this was an eye-opening thing. I know, John.
Yeah, like Sam said, you know, we're emulating someone else in our church network. But if you are interested in getting involved and helping, this is almost a required read. This is a mind-changing book for me to understand. One of the comments that this person, this author makes, is that it is typical for each of us to look at others through the lens of our social status or, you know, where we're at, our station in life. So, for example, I was looking at this individual through my middle-class lens and thinking that they think the same way that I do and they would have the same goals and plans, how they handle money, how they relate to people, how they view a job. And people who are in a state of poverty view it a certain way. And those who are wealthy view it a different way. And they all have specific ways that they operate and think and relate. And poverty isn't just the fact that, you know, I'm going to confess, you know, just buckle up and get a job and get out there and work hard and you'll be fine. I mean, it's interesting is that poverty, from a financial standpoint, is only one of the resources. And you may have someone who has wealth, but may be impoverished in many other ways, may have needs for... they may be isolated. They may be dysfunctional in their life. So it's not just because someone isn't hitting a certain threshold income-wise. There's a whole, that's why I like the word continuum of resources. So those are the pieces that need to work through, and there's some case examples. Again, I wouldn't replace Scripture with this, but in terms of the program and the process we're going through and understanding how people are thinking. And I would just say that, you know, as a just one quick example is people who are in poverty view money as basically enough to get by for the day, but if you have a little extra, you'll give it to somebody else who has need in lieu of saving. It's like, what? Why are you giving it away? And even to people who really shouldn't be getting that money. And really, at the end of the month, they're happy if they have, and I'm not kidding, 5 cents in their checking account and 3 cents in a savings account. And they're successful. They've got it. They've got things under control. So the point is that I can't impose, and it's learning. It's a process of learning and helping them understand it. But the point is they value relationships much more so than we may. And that's an expression of care and relationship. So it's I think that was helped me start doing some rethinking as we work with individuals. They come from different walks of life, and they're not wrong. It's just a matter of how they actually have been raised, their culture. And we probably could go on with probably 4 or 5 other stories that we just have, you know, learned through the process. But anyway, there may be other pieces that fit, you know, in this puzzle that we, and so no, there is no case study that's going to be replicated time after time after time. Each one's going to be unique. But anyway.
And one more piece of context to this quote here. She was actually saying this quote actually came in response to how much we were actually able to help this individual. I mean, she was blown away by the approach. The approach that we're talking about right now today is what she, this is where that came from. Not, this is the most challenging one we've ever seen. Good luck, and this is actually on the backside of seeing her life changing. So that's also why that made it up there. I thought it was pretty neat. So as we think about the different the approach and the components of how we, in our case, we have a young woman living in our home. So as John and Jeff and Caleb and all our wives got together on how are you going to build a strategic plan and strategy for her to change her trajectory, we looked at, and the parts of Rebuild are these components. There's life skills development, faith development, and educational and life work development. And I'm just going to run through these components really quickly. So when we think about skill development, the goal of life skill development is to equip each participant in the knowledge and wisdom needed to make sound life choices. And in many cases, the idea is to participate with, to live this family life. So we had this gal in our home, and she was able to participate in our family life. And as I think she's commented, we yell at our kids. We get mad at Jenny and I get mad at each other. So I think
shepherding alert.
We provide an authentic place for someone that hasn't a great view of family or of how to or have things they actually want to. And she's admitted some of these things. I want to actually see a family that does these things because I don't know how a family functions in many, many ways. So having that integration with the family, but also participation and integration with the life of the city church, having different folks, not just that family being around them, but many others. And then, again, trying to find, and in our case, we're going to show some good examples of this today, of different people that can come in and provide kind of unique support in that align with some of their gift sets. And we've seen some of those pieces. So that's kind of the life development skill set of things.
And there's some takeaways that we learned also from this process and things that really are important. Just because this is shown as saying this is the goal, we didn't accomplish some of these goals either. And so we've learned from that and see the importance of these being achieved in order to accomplish, you know, life skill development. I think we accomplished a lot, but there's other things that we are learning from and need to rethink in the future.
Absolutely. And then we have faith development. So the goal of faith development is to help each member learn the first principles of the faith and develop a biblical worldview, or view of the world. So obviously we have really great tools for helping people get themselves developed and establish in their faith, whether it's the first principles or other courses. So one of the nice pieces, again, as we look at the components as a comprehensive way of looking at it, we've got, you know, can entering them, whether it's the story or whether it's the first principles, whether it's life to the end, we have different tools to help people think through some of the faith components of that. Because as we talked earlier, there's this kind of outer and inner that we want to help people transform their lives and think afresh of, you know, the way forward. And obviously the faith component is a big one, and how someone can move themselves from one set of way of thinking about their life to another. So that's the faith component side of things. And then the last one here is the educational and life work development. The goal here is to see each participant emerge with an education and work skills necessary to earn a living. We've spent a significant amount of time, personally living in our home, particularly is very driven around some of these things. And we were, again, as I mentioned, the initial relationship started with her having, working with this homeless liaison, that her goal was really to help people graduate from high school. So we definitely learned a lot in the city of Ames on how to build some of the strategies and programs for getting someone on an educational track. And then as well, we've had some success in getting on a career path as well. But that's certainly part of one of the major components as well, as both the education side and finding some employment.
And that's a good case in point, is that their goal and program, and it's a very good program. I was very impressed with what the system that is set up. But once they graduate, they're done. There's no more contact. There's no more communication with that individual. So then what happens? How do you help them develop? So that's why we want to go ahead and integrate all this together to help them go through and become successful in life and also in their own spiritual and familial relationships.
Absolutely. So the types of programs that have, and we're going to dwell on the second one a little bit more here today, but the types of programs, and again, these are kind of set particularly to address people in different kind of spheres or places in their lives, but from a life work training for homeless, for unwed mothers, marriage training, parental training, life work for young men and women, foster system, and as well as men and women coming in and out of the penal system as well. So I think at this point, Jeff has really thought through and kind of diagrammed out things for this unwed mother track. And we've definitely, if you've been around here for a while, that's one of, I don't. Jeff has some catchphrases and or things he says a lot. And one of it says, helping unwed mothers. And I know a lot of people have heard we're going to find ways to help unwed mothers. And for those that have been waiting, this is it. We have a formal structure and a really good way to approach some of these things now. So we're going to talk a little bit about specifically the unwed mother track here. And again, we're going to just bring you lightly into the world of, so when we started putting this team together, started thinking through how do we develop a three-year plan. Again, these are these foundational components that are up here, this idea of life skills, faith skills, educational, and some of the major projects that we can see here. So we use some of these things as guiding lights to put together some of the strategies and obviously addressing some of the initial needs. And some of those things were like transportation. We said, hey, just keep taking Cyride, do this, do that, and realize that it's pretty important for us to find a way for her to get a car or get some of these things, because it was then sliding her into this sort of unresourced zone to a resource zone and unlock some of the potential for her to continue to be successful through that. But these are, this is actually, I'm going to hand out a sheet here in a moment this whole piece is, and you'll be able to get a good view of it there. And then these are these components. And then what we're driving towards, though, is the end goal here, is everything kind of points there, is that we try to find ways to get this person to be a productive believer in culture, to, again, learn some of these life skills that are necessary to be on their own. In the case of an adult mother, they're also not only learning things about for themselves, but they're parenting a child as well, establishment in their faith, engaging in a good occupation, and becoming a benefactor to others. Because the goal here isn't just to get them to a point where they're sustainable and they can make ends meet, but want them to exceed even more and actually be a benefactor to others, as we all strive to be as well. Let's see here. All right, we're gonna go ahead and hand out a handout. How's that? Get a couple people to help here. And this page here, so what we're going to do, and I'm going to flip to the two slides forward. We're going to look at a case study here this morning. Everyone's going to have the same one here. So jump to a table if you can. We're going to go ahead on your own and read through this example. And again, we're thinking about it in some of the context of what we talked about today, that rebuild is an expression of our church and the way that we can help an individual progress in their life and rebuild it. And I want you to think through that and then answer these two questions at the table. We'll take 5 or 10 minutes to do that. But real quick, question one, after you read through this, is, you know, what would this person need to get on a solid path toward being a contributing member of the community? And then how can you envision yourself participating in this process? What are your unique gifts and abilities to do that? John, any more backdrop on this particular thing before we lose complete control here?
The reason that you have the life work training unwed mothers on the back side is it kind of shows some of the, like Sam said, the goals, the ultimate goals. But what I'm really trying to do is just to stimulate thinking in terms of how can each of you contribute. And again, this is a network, a church or a church cluster or a network approach. So it's not like, how can I accomplish all of these things in helping them to develop? But the unwed mother case is just to kind of say, these are the kind of things that they may be faced with. So what do you think? What kind of a plan would you come up with? And then we're just going to share with you the genesis and the process that we went through as well, too. So anyway, yeah, it takes 5 or 10 minutes, and then we'll just go ahead and reconvene and ask you questions.
And obviously plan to have a couple people share from your table or be prepared to do so at one point or another over the last year. So this should be, there should be some good contributions here on some of your thinking. So if we address this kind of first question, you know, what would this person need to get on a solid path toward a toward being a contributing member to the community? Answering that question or some observations around that question, we'll start there. And John is going to run around or walk slowly to you. That table is a little weak over there. Oh, no, okay.
Shoot out some things. So we looked at both immediate needs that she would have, just like a place to stay, transportation, things of that nature, and then also thinking about the long term. I mean, she's going to need training in relationships, parenting, life skills.
I like this guy's style. He just hands it.
What can you add to that list?
Well, I can't take credit for it, but Steve mentioned that there's a lot of things you need to know. So what would this person need? Well, you would need to know a lot more of this story before you're ready to answer that question.
Yeah.
One of the main items that came up in our table was just the reality of her relationship and her her family depending on her, and how it really complicates trying to get a path starting going forward. And just you need to sever some things to try to build this person and help continue to help her progress. But then what do you do with the dependence that her family has on her?
What would you add, Mike? Or who? Britta?
Britta? One of the things that we talked about, or that came up at the table, is this person has to be an active participant in the plan. They have to be, they have to own the plan. So if they're going to really have life change and they're going to have this last beyond the 3 years or however long the time frame is that whoever's helping them, they need to be the one that's kind of helping shape the plan, and it needs to be something that they're asking for and want, not something we're just throwing at them, because that only gets them so far. So if we're really talking about affecting change long term, it has to be their plan, and we can help them shape that.
Gold stars for Mike.
Self-mastery, that's my word, but sometimes people are unemployable because they don't have enough self-mastery or self-ability to express emotions appropriately. I mean, if you can't do that, then you kind of create chaos in a workplace. It's a basic element of character development in children, and if you need life rebuilding, then you may need that as well.
Darren or Randy? Randy? What would you add to what we talked about so far?
Consideration that just came to my mind is something that you were talking about, John, and that we all might have a very different picture as to what success would be for this young woman. As you mentioned, for some in her picture, it might be, I've got 5 cents in savings and 3 cents in my checking account at the end of the month, and I'm happy. I've got everything I need. And given her situation here with dependence, with her mother and friends, family paying bills, anything that she has might very well go to them, and even beyond what she might should give. So that does need to be framed first, and in relation to her owning the process and what she's going to work with, that's all aligned, that we know what she's aiming at.
Another thing we talked about were some potential distractions from the process that could occur. So whether it's the dad who's in and out of jail, the father of her baby, you know, issues with her siblings or whatever, how do you get those distractions taken care of, whether it's getting some buy-in from her dad or getting her mom involved in the process somehow, how just trying to make it so that, you know, she's not having a stumbling block as a result of these other influences in her life.
And I'd love to hear from a couple tables as well on this second question here. Did anybody get some clarity around some initial sparks on how they may see themselves participating in this process? So we've definitely stated a lot of things that would maybe need to be provided or some infrastructure that would need to be in place. Anybody?
Well, I just want to add one thing too, Sam, is that these are all phenomenal points. But one of the things, an example, is this person doesn't speak English. So one of the things you got to overcome is a language barrier. So in a second sentence, it says that. So the point is that there are very real-world issues that someone's got to go ahead and learn how to speak and interact with. So getting a translator and helping them with English speaking skills is really important. And it does become a language barrier that does exist in our community as well, too. So all of them are excellent. And I think all are really, you know, are grasping the issues and how we think about it. So go ahead. You know, we'll you want to transition to question number two before we get into our example and close then?
Yeah. Anybody got some feedback on question two? Just maybe real quick, some practical things that you initially thought of.
So we're specifically looking for how do you think you and or your church and or your cluster can participate in the process and what kind of gifts can you bring? And as we're thinking about this, is that, you know, the design of the church is obviously we all have spiritual gifts, and we all contribute to the whole. I'll see you, Mark. I know you're an overachiever, Mark. I know you're always the first one, me in school. So, I'm just trying to frame it in, Mark. Okay, go ahead.
So this kind of ties in the first question with the second one too. Reading this paragraph, you know. If you are, if you're approached with this need, it can be overwhelming. It can be like, I can't do all this. And, you know, I think we have the hesitancy, or I'm sorry, the tendency to say, since I can't do all this, I'm not going to do any of it. And instead, using this process and, you know, breaking it up into what are the needs, and I'm not doing this alone, I'm doing this with the community. It makes it so it is possible. It's not just me doing this. It's not just us doing this. It's all of us doing this. And so when you break up those needs and like, well, I can help with that and that. I can't do these ones, but I can do these two. It makes it so it's actually possible and it's not so overwhelming too. Yeah. So a specific thing I could help with this is tutoring for school. That was one thing that came to my mind. I'm helping with parent training, stuff like that.
I'm going to put Joel on the spot here in a second. But I wanted to add just one thing to the first question, which is what this person need to get on a solid path. One thing that they need from us really desperately is compassion and not judgment. It would be really easy to look at the person in this situation and go, you brought it on yourself. And then try and help them from that place is not going to be super effective. Whether or not the matrix of things here they brought on themselves is on... In terms of whether or not we help them is not relevant. We want to move them along to maturity, and we need to start with a compassion toward them and love for them because that's what's going to motivate us to help them. And now I'm going to put Joel on the spot. Number two.
I guess I was thinking of viewing myself in this just as teaching people how to learn basic skills at work. Like my job, I'm a painter, so we have a lot of people who are entry level and might not have a great degree of education, but they can still start with us, and we can just teach them how to do that. And through that, I've been able to talk to people about even managing their money better and doing those sorts of things. So it's been really exciting. But
are you serious? If you want me to stay specific to this, but I know I could bring it to others, but addressing the immediate need of a place to stay. I could definitely do that. Definitely going to talk to my husband first, but we got extra space. But connecting her to others and identifying and helping in all of those needs, you know, and I don't know how, but we just know a lot of people. So I can't do it, but I know Sam can, or, you know, so-and-so can. And so just connecting and bringing that along.
Anybody else want to add to number two? Question?
That's some good stuff. So let me show you just a little bit here of a picture. And probably not even capturing kind of the different types of contributions, but within kind of the South Campus cluster example here. So Jeff and Nancy played a key role in many ways in helping kind of shape the team. But John, and like in this case, and I think in future weeks, and specifically, and I'm going to wait to guess make this kind of call to action at the end, but there are some initial thoughts on how a cluster sort of operates around. There's some things that we've learned that have been good, things we wouldn't do again. And like John said from the beginning here, we're not coming here telling you what the exact roadmap is. We have a sense of a way to start it, and I think we're going to have abilities for families and individuals in the church to be in with us on that process of continuing to figure that out. But as our
would it be helpful to kind of set the stage a little bit in terms of, without divulging a whole lot, I think we need to put some context on this so they understand how this team fits together too. So
yeah, and I guess the question I had or the statement I had here, a person. So yeah, in this even using this case study, so a person or family in your cluster is made aware of that type of situation initially. You know, kind of what do you do? And so there's this person that we know needs a significant amount of help. How do we start engaging this process? And how we did it was, well, first and foremost, in the case of Caleb and Annie and Jenny and I initially helped host a person. And I went into it kicking and screaming because I don't really want to give up an extra room. Can I help this person solve all these different aspects that need immediate assistance? And so I went and really discussed this a lot with John and Jeff and said, this needs to be an effort. And specifically, that's why I wanted to make sure, he said he was a senior elder, I wanted to make sure that John understood what was happening here and that he was a vital part of the process and helped shape the team around this, because as we look across the efforts of all the individuals in our churches, we need to continue to make sure that our elders have a view of the activities that we're a part of, because there's much more strength in amongst the cluster and the network than there is an individual or an individual family trying to take on a number of things. So I don't know if that gets at it, John, but that was part of the process.
It probably wasn't a good question. I think the case or what we went through was, we had an unwed mother who was homeless, was working in retail, was trying to provide childcare for her younger than 1 year old, was riding the bus an hour each way to get to and from. She's basically on side ride between 3 and 4 hours a day, an hour just to get from where she's staying to get to her job. Then she spent about 45 minutes going from her job to school, and then from school back to her job, and then from her job home. And she didn't want to take her, infant with her on side ride. And she was wrestling with and needed, I mean, that's part of the program at the Ames schools, is she wanted to graduate and she had a bigger vision. And so there was all these presenting, you know, facts, and she just needed some help, but she was very determined that she wanted to graduate from high school, and she had much greater aspirations than that as well too. And so I'll cue it up at this point. Caleb and Annie ended up offering a place for her to stay for a short period of time. And then we started looking at are things that we can really help her with long term, and it was through the group at the school who said that if she could find a stable place to stay, they would continue to help her in terms of graduating from high school. So I think that's about as far as I want to go in terms of the background.
No.
But kind of cues up the fact, is explains somewhat why or how these pieces all fit in terms of how. I mean, we were kind of doing this on the fly because we were trying to come up with how can we help this person in a multiplicity, in a very comprehensive way, and not just one piece or two pieces as well, too.
Yeah, no, that's helpful, John. And as we look at the different kind of roles that people played, Caleb and Annie offered and were able to kind of be this initial, like, I need a place right now, and they, so she was in their home, and then as we kind of developed a further strategy, she transitioned to Jenny and I's home, and we kind of with this offer, this is kind of the beginning of a 3-year process. But other kind of cool things, I mean, it's funny, John and Mary and I and Jenny have met many times and done some working sessions, and what's really interesting about just the different roles that you see up here, and even though what Mark was saying, it's not necessarily about we got to find people and just you got to plug these roles in, and it's going to be a lot of extra work, and it's going to stress everybody out. But you watch John work with someone on their budget, and it looks like he's generally, I mean, because I don't have fun with it, like generally having a good time and the challenges and the fun working on somebody's budget with somebody was just great for me to see the energy that he brought, even like at 10 o'clock at night when usually I think he's in bed, but having energy going through this. So it's fun to see someone that's something they're good at and they're passionate about and how they can contribute at that point. But we've had really neat things happen, like the guys, Ben Law, and the guys at the Anything Scout Shop helped fix up a car, and she actually just broke down on the interstate last week and helped her figure that out, and just many amazing things that have happened there. And actually, she bought the car from Joel and Hannah Reeves, who have also been integral in helping be kind of a stopgap. Hey, I need my kid picked up because I can't make it because my job is lasting longer than I thought, and help pick her up and watch her son. We've had people coming in and doing tutoring to help her, because that was like the last pieces of the puzzle for her to graduate. She has a strong interest in being a dental assistant, actually being a dentist. She wants to be a dentist. And she actually was able to shadow Janet Kilmer in her role and be able to see what that looks like. Lots of people have helped pick her up, take her different places as well. When we've been gone, like Dave and Rachel Hala temporarily had her over, I think about a week or so in their home. So just a myriad of things. And Jay and Dia, just from being in our house and not just, but taking their role serious as their grandparents to our kids and parents to us to model that as well when they're interacting with us in our home. As well has been important. So there's just a lot of things that, again, look at Jenny and I, because I think what I want to make sure you take away from this morning is that it's not just about the host family. The host family needs to be uniquely gifted, I think, and wired, and to be able to handle a strange person in your home messing around with your stuff, doing just. There's the stuff that happens, and you got to be okay with that, and you got to be able to embrace that. I mean, that's to me, and when I link it to how can you help and where your giftedness lies, like we like doing that. I don't know why if we're weird or that's just the way we're wired, but we like doing that. I would not want to do any budgeting. I could not fix her car. No, I mean, I was actually out there trying one time. Terrible. But I cannot fix cars. I could care less about finding kids' clothing. You know, all these, I mean, math tutoring, for sure not going to happen. So look across the different things that were brought to the table to help make this happen. I mean, we would have lasted, what, like a month at best, and then we'd have been in a really bad spot of knowing what do we do now. So it's just an amazing picture just up here with the different people that have come around to help move this across. And all shepherded, which is very important. Again, this is the idea that the church is central, by John. So John is making sure that Jenny and I aren't getting too stressed out about the situation or any other individual. And John knows generally everything that's sort of happening. He is not sitting at every meeting with every one of these people, but he has a good view of what's happening across this case. So again, it's not totally consuming John's every waking minute either, but he's able to kind of make sure that it holds it together. I don't know if you have any other thoughts, John, on that, just on how the team worked.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, if you count the adults alone, there's 23 different people that participated, you know, in this process. And as Sam said, each one was integral. And just kind of a interesting story. This individual, and understandably, just felt that they needed to have their own car. And when you understood, when I further got to understand how much time she spent on the bus, it just is a matter of pure practicality in terms of being able to, because she wanted to have her child living with her, not up at her, you know, with her parents or her mom. So we take for granted that we can go out and get a loan. She can't get a loan. I mean, she has no credit history whatsoever. We went to the auto dealership, and they just said, we'd love to help you, but not going to happen. So just to show some way, God has really orchestrated amazing steps and opportunities for her through this process. But it turns out that a local bank was willing to loan money if we went ahead and put down some money ourselves, and Mary and I did. But we found a creative way to go about getting it to build some credit history. I didn't realize it, but if an individual makes installment payments on a loan for a year, they're golden in the eyes of the credit industry, and all of a sudden you can get a loan. Can you imagine going out and trying to do something? Student loans, vehicles, credit cards, anything like that. We all operate that way, and we take it for granted that we can get it. But many people can't get that. So we've got it set up that I think she has four more payments, and when she gets, I mean, she was glowing the other night because she has a credit score right now of 690. To her, that is basically, I can't believe it. That's because she's making payments, and so helping her go through it. To us, that's kind of like, well, duh, you know. For someone else who isn't resourced, that's a big thing. It's going to give her the ability to do other things. In particular, she wants to become a dentist. You know, student loans. I was almost in tears, honestly, when I talked to Ben Law. He and several people at Anything Scout put in a ton of time. He scoured the internet and got new parts for like $400, and he probably put $2,000 to $3,000 worth of repairs in this car for $400. Sam said, I know how a car works. You put the key in, you turn it, and then you take it out. That's all I know. Oh, and fuel goes in the back end, not in the front end. To him, it's just kind of like, oh, what's the big deal, you know? It's like, oh, Ben, you don't understand how important it is. And it was affordable transportation. Now, is she looking forward to the day when she can go ahead and transition to something else? Absolutely. But the point is, it gets her from point A to point B, even finding tires and that kind of stuff. But just the fact is that, I mean, he pretty much, like, he spent evenings, maybe some weekends, working on it as a labor of love. And he didn't want anything for it, and neither did the people that helped at Anything Scout as well, too. But we just take some of these things for granted. This is part of our resources that we have available. And as you mentioned, Sam, it's not just one of us, it's not just two of us, it's all of us. And I call, you know, Annie our human resource hound. I mean, just going through and looking for jobs. She also needed to get her green card, renewed as well too. How that was all worked through as well too. So anyway, point is, she graduated, she walked across the stage, and she was very proud, and she should have been. And she didn't get, it wasn't a GED. It was actually, she graduated from high school. And she was the first person ever in her family lineage to ever graduate from high school. And that, to her, is a huge milestone. Now she has a full-time job working for Aspen Dental. And she is learning how some dental skills, and her vision is to go to dental school. And given her resourcefulness and her commitment, and I think she's a very intelligent person, I think she's going to accomplish that as well, too. But the network and everyone caring and loving, supporting, and I actually had a full head of hair. No, I'm just kidding. it's not without its ups and downs, We just had a meeting the other night in our house, and one of the gals from Cipelli, is she from YS?
Youth and Shelter Youth Services. Anyway,
she just commented, she said, I never would have thought that she would be at this place a year ago when I met her. And that's not the basically patting myself on the back, it's just more or less this process and this caring does work, and I think there's tremendous opportunities. Now, we won't go into other things that we feel there's things that we've learned along the way, and we're going to really encourage people, to make sure this is taken into account, in the future. But right now, her goal is to get launched. She wants to move out on her own. She does make her mind up, and when she makes her mind up, she's on her way. But she actually asked for the group to get together and help her evaluate the wisdom of moving out on her own into a different location. And that was pretty honoring to think that she would be asking for that help, whereas, normally you'd probably say, oh, I'm just going to go out and do it, And I think she's teachable. May not be the answer she wants right now, but she's teachable. So it is exciting. It's very gratifying. It brings together, what we're to be about. I first thought, I questioned, the three-year process. 3 years is, I think, a minimum probably, honestly, because of just the reorientation and the working through things as well, too. But I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to have a big celebration when she makes that last payment on her car. And I hand her car title because that's hers, and she's bought it, and then she's got, credit. And, again, I didn't appreciate. I took for granted that was just like a given. But I've seen a lot of different things. And, Caleb, I agree with you 100%. I think what's been modeled is love and compassion and care and concern by the Shills, by Caleb and Annie, from others in this team. And she's seen a consistent caring and wanting her to succeed. And she's kind of become a little bit like a daughter to us in terms of caring for her. And like your kids, they can drive you nuts sometimes, but that's okay. It's been a great opportunity. I think that long term, I think she'll be a success too. So anyway,
Just a couple last pieces here. So like John mentioned, we've had some notable moments that have helped give us some confidence that what this process can work and can contribute to some things. And yeah, it was interesting. So I was having lunch with a guy, he's in a church here in Ames, and they had taken in a person to their home for about 12 weeks or so. That was in a bind. They're very, very compassionate people, very loving people, part of a church, and took them in for 12 weeks, and then they left. And then that person went right back into a situation that was where they had started before that 12-week period had started. And after I kind of talked to him about this stuff, he looked at me and said, he's like, wow, we didn't really accomplish anything, did we? He goes, and then we're walking through replay. He goes, I want to hear about that. So I think this is a really compelling concept and for others in the community, other churches, and as James and I are going to be working in and amongst churches across the Central Iowa area, and this is something we're going to be talking to people about. There's plenty of other people that have considerable passion for this problem, and as we can continue to work together and network with other churches around solving this, it just is amazing to me what I think we could, over the next decade, accomplish with this. And the last thing I'll mention there is that, so in 2016? Two things happened, and I think, and I'll remember both of them, but I'm putting this in the category of, from a selfish perspective, and feeling good about your contribution in the things that you do. I was part of a company that got bought by Time Inc. this last year, which is a pretty good achievement for a bunch of guys from Ames. But her graduating high school and me having just a small role participating is something I'm never going to forget. Just from where we started with her to that point, just I'm never going to forget that. And we all have this opportunity. And I wouldn't have been able to do it without many people in this room to have that moment. That moment when the dust settles at the end of your life and you look back at the things that were the most meaningful to you, like that one's going to fall in there. No matter what happens next in next stage, but that one is going to fall near the top. And hope there's more like that. And I'm hungry. I wake up every morning thinking about this idea of how we can really be seeking the welfare of the city, how we can be helping people in lots of different areas in their lives, and that we have a team of people. We have well-trained, established people here in this room. And as we mobilize and work together, it's incredible. I think the things that we can all, when we're filling out our life to the end, and we're developing our legacies and what we want to accomplish in our 60s and our 70s, unless, of course, you're already there and you've accomplished those, what are these things going to look like on those timelines and what we want to be a part of achieving? I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg in that. And in the next coming weeks here, I know Caleb and then we'll fill in some more things about how we're going to get involved. Like I said, James and I are putting our feet on the ground, and Jenny is very involved, and Annie and others are like, where are these needs? We're not just talking about this in theory. We want to address where those needs are and equip everyone in this room to be able to participate and help. So I'll leave that there, and I know Caleb and the group
will be talking more. Just a couple other comments too, and that is, the reason we shared the example this morning is to say every person in this room can play a part. And that's really, it's all of us in the network working together, and there's going to be different opportunities that are going to come up, and I think that's going to be something that you're going to be talking about, I think, potentially, next weekend. And one option, this hasn't been vetted yet, but is to create a database and to find out that if someone is really good, I think of Monique in terms of working with finances and stuff. And budgeting, for example, there's a number of us in here that can help people with budgeting. Some will be willing to do for housing. Other might do establishing, helping with school, whatever it is. And there's probably a much greater need than we can ever personally fill as a church. I mean, it's mind-numbing. We take for granted that Ames must be totally privileged, no issues. That's incorrect. There is a lot. And so hence the point of trying to build a network of churches, even in our own community, to try and help work through that process. And the other thing, too, is that I keep saying I'm going to go back and look for it, but it's either in life to the end or seek the welfare of the city. But what really stuck out was the fact is people are the most responsive to the gospel in the area where there is the greatest need. And the greatest need right now in our country is broken families and dysfunctional individuals. And that's really where we can speak love and care and concern into people's lives and will ultimately provide the opportunity for sharing the gospel. And this cohesive, coherent approach, and just back to this, our case example is the most pressing thing in this person's mind initially was transportation. Didn't want to hear about anything else about spiritual things. So there's times where you have to really focus on the immediate to try and get that foundation set. Housing was important as well, too. So we're not basically seeing this, okay, sit them down, this starts sharing with them. It's basically demonstrating love and care and concern. But it is a tremendous opportunity, I think, to probably go through next week. And ultimately, we're going to be asking everyone to say, what do you think your strengths are? Where do you really want to contribute? How can you help? And then hopefully in each individual cluster that can come out of it. And I know that there was a North Campus, had a young gal with them for a while. It was a very positive partnership between North Campus and also the school system. And in a very short period of time, there's an opportunity. Maybe she might have stayed with families, three families rose to the top and said they'd be willing to do that. So we're trying to get this set up so that these opportunities do come around. We can go ahead and present them to people who are ready and willing and interested in doing that. So we can help. I know there's a number of people have asked, well, how do I help? What do I do? This is what we want. Here's where we're going. We're trying to get to that point where we can lay that out. Why do we do this? What's involved? And then how can you help is coming so we can be prepared to do that in the future.
Yeah.
That's all we got. And just as a closing note here, I mean, again, to circle it back around, as we think about people in our community or in other communities, I think we can be more than just well-intentioned, but that we can be innovative people that are really digging in and solving problems. And I think Rebuild is one of the first expressions that our churches here locally can have. And there'll be many more things that we can be involved in too. So I'll go ahead and pray really quick, and then we'll dive. Yeah.
I want you to pray for us. Can you do that? For I'm feeling bad.
Amen.
Close it out.
Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for allowing us, our clusters, to just come about and to help reshape and rebuild the city. Lord, there's so much that is needed out here. And I look around, Lord, a lot, and I see my brothers and sisters and say, well, how can we help? Just with a little bit of knowledge, Father. Just keep us moving forward in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to catch a passion.